Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Ryan Magada, who is the founder of Brave Little Beast. Ryan has owned and run three branding agencies over the past 12 years. He loves strategy, processes, and helping brands find their magic. Today, we are going to be discussing Ryan's journey as an entrepreneur and how he's grown Brave Little Beast. Thanks so much for joining us today, Ryan.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to chat through all this fun stuff.
Awesome. So to start, why don't you tell our listeners where you're tuning in from today?
Yeah, we are based in Columbus, Ohio.
Very nice. And so what would you say motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
I think, you know, really just, I guess, getting to good ideas fast and kind of trying things fast and figuring out what fails quickly and then moving on to the next thing.
Yes.
You know, that's kind of how I've built my business is really like, it's really how we started even our strategy process and all the various things we do, like trying like, hey, let's try this as part of a process, try it with a couple clients. Pick out what doesn't work, pick out what really resonated, hone in on those things and add some new things. And really that's, I think that is that kind of fast and furious approach helps you go further without getting stuck. Cause I think a lot of people, they kind of have that analysis paralysis where they just get stuck in the review mode and kind of refuse to introduce new ideas. And it's like probably half the stuff you're holding on to isn't a great idea and you just need to let it go.
Yeah.
And a lot of that pressure will alleviate as you move forward.
Yeah. It's such a great point. I agree 100%. And then, so how did you get into digital marketing originally?
Yeah. So I kind of stumbled my way into it. I did not go the traditional path of graduating high school and going to like any sort of design school or anything like that. I started to. I actually graduated, took a year, and then went to Youngstown State to start to work on a degree in graphic design. And really, like along the way, I just kind of like lost. I don't know, looking at the people next to me, some of them couldn't draw a square on a piece of paper, but they were like acing all their classes. And I'm like, because of how I approach things, I'm a little bit out of the box and I'll get to that end result, but I kind of want to do it my way. And it was not working. And so I dropped out and I had various jobs. I did landscaping and I was a manager at Starbucks and I did sound, video and lighting for churches and all this crazy stuff. And I landed at Chase after a few years and really was like working as, it wasn't even like a design position. It was a customer support position. Okay. And so I basically was helping bankers from New York figure out how to turn their computers on. It was wonderful. Yeah, I'm like, have you restarted lately? No, try that. Oh, it fixed everything. Yay. But they actually gave me an opportunity because they, in their training program, they were like, we don't have a great way to get people into our system without actually putting them into the system. And I was like, well, I kind of know Flash and stuff like that, which is totally the wrong tool for doing this. But I did some walkthroughs of like their system and it got me off of the phones, which was amazing. And I was like, man, I kind of miss this. Like I haven't done this for a while. And actually at the time, my father-in-law was a worship pastor at a church over in Polaris, and their graphic designer left and there was an opening. And so I kind of went to the pastor and I was like, hey, listen, I love, like, creativity is how I got through school. Like, those little popsicle stick dioramas of Plymouth Rock got me through, like, high school. Like, it was like, I can, if as long as I can nail this thing, I'm good. My grades are gonna be good.
Yeah.
I've always loved that creative side of things. And I was like, if you can give me the space to kind of learn on the go and you're good with that, like, let me in, I'm ready to go. And he gave me a chance. And so I was a designer there for close to 3 years. And then, that's a whole nother story of how that experience ended. Not so great. Left that one, and actually started at another church, had a not so great experience there with a pastor. And so, like, at that point, I came home from work. We were in, actually, that second position moved us to Harrisonburg, Virginia. And, came home and I was like, I told my wife, I was like, listen, I just got off the phone with your dad. We're moving back to Columbus. And I'm starting my design agency. And she's like, what? She's like, okay, like, awesome, great, we're gonna be back with family. And so I moved in with my in-laws for a year, and I started building a business. I had no idea what I was doing. Like, really, like, I had the graphic experience from all of my church work, but I had no idea how to build brands or to do brand strategy. Really had to just do a ton of reading. I thought at that time, I was like, man, should I go back to school? And, like, I just really, I found books by Seth Godin and Bernadette Jiwa and, like, all these books that I was just like, this is so good and I love all this, and started to put it into practice and really kind of using that thing we talked about of just, like, failing fast and being like, okay, that didn't work. Hey, let's move on to this thing.
Yeah.
We finally, like, after a year, I moved out of my in-laws. We finally were making an income that I could support paying rent and all of that. Went on for about 2 more years, built the art practice up. So my first business was bringing in 6 figures finally, and met a guy at a church that I was going to, who then we kind of just joined forces, and I merged my business in. He hopped out of an agency gig that he was at, and we started a new agency here. He had taken the proper approach, and had gone from high school to college and really went to, like, graduated, got an internship. He'd worked at large agencies. Mm-hmm. And so he understood that world, and it was really, I mean, it was great, because I was like, this is why strategy is important. This is what a logo deck should look like. These are the strategies that help a business grow. Like, it was awesome. And really, like, along the way, I started to kind of figure out how I wanted to help people. And so we were 50-50 partners for about 3 years. He's a good guy. He's still in town, still working underneath the same brand. And I was like, basically just got to a point, I was like, hey, we're kind of headed in different directions. I see me wanting to help businesses in a different way than you do, and not that his way was wrong. And I hopped out. So in 2016, I went out on my own. So I'm the sole provider for my family. Mm-hmm. I have 4 kids. Really it was a scary experience, but it was what I knew that I had to do, because even my wife could tell. She just looked at me and she's like, you don't look happy. You don't sound happy. She's like, I'm usually a very high energy guy, and it was just very much, like, right here.
Right.
And so took that risk, hopped out, and started from scratch, and really built what I wanted to build as an agency using all of the experience that I had. I'm thankful for all of it. Even the bad stuff, the fights, the whatever, like, all of that has really helped me, learn what I'm good at and then build a brand around that really helps people find their magic. And really, that's kind of where the name came from. I originally was going to be just, like, Ryan Magata LLC. Like, I have, that is what is on all my taxes and all that. And then a good buddy of mine, Chris McAllister, like, I had created this little brand for doing some merch and some swag and all that. And he was like, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't feel like you. And he's like, you got this thing over here, this Brave Little Beast thing. That's, like, totally you. And so really, like, it really, like, dawned on me that was what a great name, because like at first it felt like I was the brave little beast, because I mean, it was just kind of this crazy up and down story and finally closing everything down and launching out on my own again. But really over the years, what we've really found is that our clients are the brave little beasts, and we're there to kind of champion that, because I think it's a scary time and a scary place to start something new or to step out into the unknown. And that's really what we do best, is help brands feel that sense of bravery or courage to be themselves and to really launch out something new.
That's awesome. So I love that story about how you started your business. So what would you say has been the biggest challenge that you've had to overcome, and how have you overcome that?
I think the biggest challenge as of now, so I think this is 2016, like this is like the sixth year. So really like now we're a team of three. So I have two full-time employees with me, and really just maintaining that level of, like, it's really easy as an agency to slide into just grabbing large projects where you're almost a mercenary. And I've gotten to those, like, hey, there's a catalog for Abbott and it's like 80 grand, but you're going to be glued to your desk for 80 hours a week. And it's like no creative thought whatsoever. It's hard to know, like, hey, in order to replace that, I'm going to have to work a little bit harder and do several projects for smaller clients. But we get to work with people where we're really making a difference. And that is the biggest thing. I know Adam, my creative director, like one of his favorite things is like, he's like, I've never been able to work with a brand, like a person who had a really a great job at Battelle and they've always wanted to be a baker. And like we walked them through a process that allowed them to hop out of that job and start this bakery to make cookies. And she's loving it and doing such a great job. And we keep checking in and like we can see all the orders that come in on her site. It's just like, we helped her do that. Like that is so much fun to really kind of be connected to those brands that are really doing it. They're putting in the work and they're growing, and to really help them again, feel brave while they're doing those going after their goals or those achievements.
Awesome. So yeah, you just basically, you decided who exactly, what kind of jobs you wanted to work on, and then you just basically weeded out the rest of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's like, we always have that tension of delivering like really high quality work, and you always had like the pricing thing is always just this struggle of like small businesses who are just starting out sometimes have money, most of the time don't have money. How can we kind of structure this thing out so that we can build something that we're proud of, get them what they need, but also keep the lights on? And that's kind of the thing that we always have that tension of, is like, I don't want to overcharge. I don't want to just start adding zeros onto the price just so that we can get paid. It's like, I want to make sure that we're delivering the right level of value for what we're, really giving them.
Right. Awesome. So I'd love to talk a little bit about sales with you. So how do you bring in new work to your agency?
Yeah. Over the course of 12 years, I've tried a lot of things. I have done everything from, cold calls, cold emails, LinkedIn follows, running ads. And really what it's come down to in the conversation that we constantly have, I think it's great to raise brand awareness, doing things where you're maybe sending like a cool swag pack to someone with no attachment to it. Like clients that we want to work with, just giving them some cool stuff. Here's the notebook. Here's the pen. If we could ever be helpful, just let us know. And then they know that we exist and they go on the website and they kind of fall in love with the tone, the branding, the colors, all of that. And so really that is like the biggest thing that I try to push is like, we win more work by doing really good work, and really focusing on taking care of the people that are right in front of us. And when we do that and we can really deliver beyond their expectation, I don't ever want to be like, yeah, it's all referrals. Like we try to have conversations and branch out, and I try to connect with people, but that's like the bread and butter of what we do, is like really just absolutely, you know, over delivering to the people that we're working with and making sure that we're proud of the work. Like, what good is it if you're just cranking out work? Like, do something that you're really proud of. One of our values for our agency is magic. That's kind of the theme, obviously. But like, really, like the action to that is finding the magic in the mundane. So like, really, like, somebody is going to approach you for a business card. A business card can just be like a two-sided thing or one-sided thing that just has a picture or your number on it, and that's it. Mm-hmm. But what are those, like, is there one thing that we can do there that we're really finding that magic to kind of be like, oh, cool. Like, you used a pattern or a texture or a treatment or something that really, it draws the eye in, and it's like, that little thing, that little detail that you put in there is magical. So really trying to find that with the work that we put out so that we're really proud of it.
Awesome. So I know you mentioned that you are, you know, it's a huge priority to just have those really go above and beyond, have really happy clients. And that also helps bring in those referrals. So do you have any tips for creating really happy clients?
I think, you know, that the experience matters from start to finish, like mm-hmm. really being able to have solid processes to follow. Processes are what people buy. So like, it's the logo itself is like the end product of the process, but having like for instance, our logo process, it's really fun. It's really collaborative. There's a book that I read that was like Win Without Pitching. And it talked about how these big presentations don't do anything for anybody because it's everything is built up to this giant climax here of like, here this thing is, and then it's everything from there is a letdown, rather than having that just be a build throughout the project of, hey, so we're gonna get your input, and we're gonna then you know, kind of talk about that creative input on a creative brief, and then we're gonna bring you into the sketch phase of this. From the very ground level, you're gonna start seeing pencil sketches of all of these things. You might have 15, 20, 30 sketches here, and then we try to select a few that might be a good fit for somebody. So they can actually see already the value that we're delivering and the exploration that we've done. And then honing in on that iterative piece, but really guiding them through that process so that at the end, there wasn't this big aha moment. The whole entire thing was an aha moment of really like themselves discovering what they wanted.
That's cool.
And so I really think that's how we can deliver that high quality work, is really finding and fine tuning and constantly refining those processes. What's not working? I think it's almost monthly in our meetings here. We're having like, hey, there, like we just did this last month. We were talking about the color part of designing a logo is the hardest, because you can almost get into the preference land of, I don't like that shade of blue. I don't like, it's like it can really drag on. So like, one of the things we talked about is, hey, we need to introduce color right from the beginning. So that way it's like, we can kind of get a pulse on what they're thinking, what they're feeling, what colors they're drawn to, and then make a strong recommendation so that by the time we get to that final stages where we're doing final refinement, we can be like, listen, this is what you need. This is our strong recommendation. And I would say most people are like, cool. Like, that's why I hired you. You're the design agency. You get this stuff. But sometimes there's a little guidance that needs to happen there. But constantly refining those processes is really how you can, you know, make that customer experience extremely smooth, and you get really happy clients from that.
Yeah. And also, I think you're able to deliver value right out the gate. You know, when you bring them in to look at those sketches, they really have that sense that they're receiving a lot of value for the money that they're paying you very early on in the working relationship.
Yeah, it's those limiting surprises is really like one of the key things, because it's like, nobody likes a surprise. I've done that. Like, in my career, I've done the cool, like, you need logos, like, you like turn around and like a month later you come back and you're like, here's this thing, and they're like, oh my God, what did you hear that I did not say? And I'm like,
yes,
oops, yeah.
It's so true. Yes. So what, are there any other systems that you've implemented within your agency that have been really helped streamline operations?
So I think having like a really good, and we've wrestled with this, really good project management Software is huge. Mm-hmm. We've gone from, like, we used Basecamp, and then we moved into, gosh, Trello. We've done the whole gamut of things. And really, like, what we've found is that, and we've polled our clients on this, that most clients don't want to be part of the project management software, because we've used them all where you actually invite them in and they can see everything and it's almost overwhelming. Mm-hmm. What they really want is a clean, simple dashboard that shows progress. The progress is really like, so it's like, hey, like, we're going to send some emails back and forth. We might have a Slack channel, but I just want to look somewhere and be like, cool, we're on week 3 of our logo design process. Boom. Done. And that simplicity is really what people are looking for. Now we're in ClickUp. We were on Monday for a little bit, but ClickUp is a little bit more flexible for us. But I think that, like, understanding that communication is key and people want simple communication and, like, a simple dashboard to track that progress, that's been huge for us.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And do you have any tips for being more productive in your day to day?
It's so funny because I think it differs for everybody. I know for me, really trying to, I'll push meetings to afternoon when I can, because the morning is my creative time. I know yes. that my brain is rested and ready to go. And I feel it on days when I have meetings first and then have to do creative, like, I'll just find myself, like, walking around the office or shooting hoops on our little basketball hoop here. And I'm like, what am I doing? Like, my brain is done for the day.
Yeah.
So really finding the rhythm and finding out what charges your brain, like what really energizes you, and making sure that you do that. Like, so for me, on the days when I don't work out, I feel that. Mm-hmm. I work out first thing in the morning. When I haven't been eating clean, I feel that. And I feel a little bit of, like, brain fog. The times when I don't meditate, I have, like, there's an app called Syncuition. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
No.
It is incredible. And so they have these guided journeys. It's mostly just sounds and different things. Like, it's fantastic. But like, having a rhythm of that gives me the space to process so that I can hit the day strong.
Yeah.
But it is so different for everybody. There's some people who do better creative work at nighttime or in the evening, and if I work too long, I get that second wind and I can have that as well. But, like, finding out what energizes you is the biggest productivity thing. There's also one of our clients, there's a product. It used to be the Ultra Human. I think it's called Da Vinci now, but it's a nootropic. They're absolutely amazing. And that's kind of like a daily supplement that I have. It's formulated just right. It gives you a little bit of a boost of energy, but also you get added clarity. It's super good stuff.
Awesome. Very cool. So where do you see Brave Little Beast in 5 years' time?
So in 5 years, I don't want to be a big agency. I think that's the conversation we keep having internally, is like, at what size do we lose our magic? Because once you start to grow so big, then you have to feed the monster. So you have to be doing projects that you really don't want to be doing. I think for us, it's probably having a team of 8. Mm-hmm. And really, like, I want to, you know, still be a hybrid agency. Right now we're branding and marketing. I would say that I spent most of my career just on the branding side of things and getting really good at logos and websites and print collateral, but really figuring out how to help businesses grow. And really that grassroots marketing, not pay-per-click, not SEO, but really, like, what are some branding things that we can do for awareness that we can, you know, help educate our clients or get them to contribute in some way. But that's it. I mean, I think we stay on the same course that we're on, stay small, stay agile. Mm-hmm. And I think that continue to kind of shed off the things that we don't want to do. If there's specific type of work that's not a good fit. I mean, when I first started, I was doing motion graphics and photography and all these things that I should have not been doing, because when I look at it now, I'm like, that is awful. Like, why did I do that?
Yeah.
But you're really just learning from that of like, man, like this stuff is really energizing to us. Let's do more of that.
I love that. Yeah. And I think when you get too big as well, you get pulled away from what it is that originally brought you, you know, that passion that you have for the industry. And, you know, you're just, it turns into like a monster, like you said. And then it's like you're managing your team, you know, more so than you're really involved in any of the projects. So it all comes down to just, you know, what is your end goal? What do you really want out of your agency? So,
Yeah.
Is there anything else you would like to add before we begin wrapping up?
No. I think that covers it. I really think that, and the heart of kind of what I'm trying to help inspire the brands that I work with do is to really just, you know, kind of bring an authentic approach to what they're doing, to not be scared to be themselves. I think especially in mm-hmm. all of the cancel culture, and there's a lot going on without getting too political with it. And I think that that almost scares people away from being real. Mm-hmm. And what the world needs is brands and people to show up with the full weight of who they are. And that's what makes life beautiful. And so that's what we help the companies that we work with do, is to really find that courage to be themselves.
I love it. Well, we're going to start wrapping up here, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
So a friend of mine, I mentioned him earlier, Chris McAllister, wrote a book called Figure That Shift Out. There's an F in there, shift. and it's so good. Like, really, it was a turning point for me. It was actually in going through that process, that book with him, and I did coaching with him, mm-hmm. Really what spurred me to leave the second agency that I built, the partnership. Mm-hmm. And really, because it talked about how we're all making choices out of fear. And there's a core fear that will always get in your way unless you stare it right in the face. And so, like, one of my fears was a fear of inadequacy. So I don't have what it takes. And really, that was like, no, I do have what it takes. And that has helped me form my business, my relationships. It's helped me be a better dad, a better husband, all of that. It's a fantastic book. So you could check it out on Amazon. Figure That Shift Out by Chris McAllister.
Definitely. I'm definitely going to check that out. And what does your morning routine look like?
Yeah, so I am an early bird. I do not stay up late. So usually the guys make fun of me because if they text me after like 7:45, 8 o'clock, no response, because I'm likely like in bed and snoring. So I get up at 4:45 every morning. I hit the gym. There's like some supplements that I take. One of them is Vibrant Greens. It's amazing. It's got everything in it, but it also tastes like if you cleaned out your lawnmower into like a shaker cup and put some water in it, it tastes like that. And then just like typical stuff, like some digestive enzymes and all that. Mm-hmm. I usually don't eat breakfast. And then we actually have an earlier day as an agency. That's one of the things that I think has really worked well for us. So we do like a 7:30 to 3. Okay. And it's hard sometimes because our clients are usually on like a 9 to 5. So there's some requests that come in, but we get in here early, and get moving, have our meetings, huddle for the day and then do our creative work, move on to that first.
Interesting. I love that. And I think that does make a lot of sense because, like you said, I think most people are definitely more efficient in the morning. So definitely taking advantage of those early hours in the day is a really smart move.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is there a CEO that you follow or study?
No. is that bad? Like I think
it's one not
of those
at all.
Things. I think that I have a lot to learn from other people, and I can be inspired by others, but I still want to not lose who I am in the mix of that. There's too many people that, they read like 5 books a week, and they're constantly being pushed around by these different ideas. And they've got Gary Vee shouting at them on LinkedIn to work 20 hours a day. And they kind of lose themselves in that. So really, like, for me, it's like, I want to improve myself. So I don't so much look to CEOs for like, I'm going to follow you and look at your, the stuff that you're doing. Mm-hmm. I more look to like some self-help stuff. Like, how can I, you know, unblock my creative thinking, or how can I get better at managing time? And yeah. then just try to continue to be like an empathetic leader for my team and kind of model the behavior that I want.
I love that. That's a great answer. And what is your favorite online tool?
Grammarly. This yes. is one, oh my gosh. Like, so really I have switched my, my role. I went from doing a lot of design work. I was like the only designer. And then I hired Adam, and Adam's an amazing designer and web designer. And now we have Johnny, who's an amazing designer and illustrator. And so I have stepped into, the strategy role, and I do a lot of writing, for email, social, all that. And Grammarly has saved my butt. And it also, like, it helps me be a better writer too, because I can see my mistakes as I'm making them.
Yeah.
I love how it catches them and goes like, hey, do you realize that you, like, you do this a lot? And I'm like, oh, crap. it's helped a ton. Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a genius software, because it's just like, with the world we live in today and with autocorrect, it's just everyone's spelling and grammar has declined to some point. Most of us.
Oh, so, yeah. Anytime I don't have spell check, I like look at like a tech, like whether it's I'm writing something, I'm like, I need those little squiggly lines to tell me something is wrong or replace a word.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
So I'll preface this with the fact that there's a lot of really smart people out there. But really the idea that like nobody knows anything about anything. usually the people who look like they have stuff together the most are usually the ones that are struggling the most to hold it together. Mm-hmm. And so like really, like, I think early on in my career, I kept like comparing myself or where I was at to other people. And like, that is something that's really stifling. It doesn't help you become the best version of you. So really, like, I think that the understanding that we're all figuring this out as we go, mm-hmm. Like I said, there's really smart people out there, but like, all of our paths are different to how we want to build our business, and the path to get us to where we want to go is completely different than a lot of the people that we look up to. Yeah.
I love that. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Ryan. It was a pleasure to have you on the show, and I really enjoyed our chat.
Yeah, me too. Thanks so much, Julia.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.